Okay, well, I want to pray and we will begin. Could it be that we can talk with the Creator of the universe and He hears as soon as the words come out of our mouth, even as they were formed in our hearts, even before we spoke them, that we are in communication and communion with the everlasting Father? We bow before you in our hearts today. Needy, weak, ignorant, foolish, but hopeful, believing, and joyful in our God. Speak to us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're in a series called Let's Follow Jesus. We are in the fourth week now. The first week, if I can remember them all, it was close but no cigar. What's the difference between religion and regeneration? The second week was on devotional life, about that daily quiet time with God. Last week was on the Word of God, not by bread alone. This week is I Will Call Upon the Lord. And I don't think we've handed out the handout. So here they are sitting right here waiting. And I'll just keep going as we hand out. We have someone volunteering here. And we will just delete those extraneous remarks from the recording. I brought the talking phone book. I've never heard it talk. It must be referring to something else. If you call up, it'll talk to you. But anyway, because we're going to be talking about prayer. And so I was thinking, well, what would be a visual aid I could use? You know the phone book that God gave us for heaven? In the name of Jesus. He didn't need a big book to tell us how to call out on His name. The verse that our title comes from is found in 2 Samuel 22:4, where David says, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, for He saves me from my enemies. I will call on the Lord. Let me tell you a little bit about my own pilgrimage and prayer. I became a Christian in 1971. That's really where I first began praying. I remember making a prayer list, and I still have it somewhere in one of my boxes. You know, some of you are squirrels, and you just collect things, and I tend to be one of those. But anyway, sentimental people do those sorts of things. Non-sentimentals just trash it all, shred it, move on. But anyway, so I still have that prayer list, and I remember praying it for a year and sort of developing it and being very hopeful, and then there's certain things that are unmentionable in Christianity, and one is when you get disappointed with prayer, thinking, well, maybe this doesn't work, or maybe I'm not special enough, or maybe I'm not doing it the right way, or whatever. And so without telling anybody, you just sort of back off. You think, well, I'm tired of being disappointed. It's not as though you make a conscious decision, I'm not going to pray. You just find yourself that you're not praying as much. So that went on for about a year, and then I think at that point, as far as asking God for things, I sort of backed off on that. I thought, well, maybe I was going at it the wrong way. Maybe prayer isn't so much about asking. It's about thanking and praising and seeking Him and getting to know Him better. And so I spent about 18 years on that track. I remember in college, for 1 year, I would just go out every night right around 10 o'clock and walk around Georgia Tech campus. It wasn't quite so dangerous in Atlanta. And try to find God. And when I found Him, I talked to Him. And in Costa Rica in 1984, when we were studying Spanish, I'd try to get up early enough, sneak out of the house with my cup of coffee, where one-year-old Walt wouldn't wake up, ruin everything. And I'd sit there on the front porch at 5:45 in the morning and just wait to see if I could find God. And read the Bible if I felt like He led me to, but I was just trying to concentrate on Him and not in the midst of activities that are called devotional life, miss the point, miss Him. So for 18 years, I congratulated myself on being so spiritual. I mean, don't actually think these things, but if you look back, you think, I guess that must be what I was thinking. I sort of congratulated myself that I was beyond asking, that I was just grateful for what God had already done. He knew what I needed. I was surrendered to His will, happy with whatever He wanted and he was sovereign, so that was enough. Until in 1989, the whole issue of asking came back up. I have here asking that first year, the next 18 years seeking, and the last 17 years I just put in knocking. Sounds biblical. And John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, can you finish it? Ask what? Ask loud. Whatever you wish. And it probably won't happen. No. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Now, the first two things are conditions. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, we call those conditions. When it says ask whatever you wish, what would you call that? A suggestion? A command. What is it when you don't obey a command? Disobedience. Sin. Uh-oh, here I was being spiritual and not asking. The only problem, it sounds very spiritual, the only big problem with it is that it's sin against God to disobey a command of God. And God has commanded us to ask. In fact, John Calvin himself, who we think mostly of as great at writing theology and administrating Geneva, but he said the most common and frequent command for the Christian life in the whole Bible is ask and you will receive. How are we going to explain that to God someday, that the most frequent thing he commanded us was the thing we never did? Well, let's look a little bit at an overview of prayer. I like drawing things, so, I mean, how can you draw prayer? But anyway, these are some of the main elements. The Bible says in Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise is where you look at him and admire him and love him and tell him what you like about him. It's focused on God. With prayer, it is accompanied by thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Is that clear or what? The importance of thanksgiving, giving thanks for all that God has already done. And then confession. You notice I've got those smaller because those aren't the two major ingredients time-wise in terms of prayer, but they're important. Confession, 1 John 1:9, as you go into the presence of God and sense the things that aren't right with your life, it's very appropriate and necessary to talk to God about that, admit that, ask for his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When your child has disobeyed you and they were in their nice Sunday clothes and they ran outside and fell in a mud puddle and now they're all dirty and they disobeyed you, there are two things they need. They need to be forgiven and then they need their clothes changed. God says, if you will confess your sins, I will forgive you and I will tidy you up. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then finally, I've got a bigger spot for a petition. The reason for that is the Lord's Prayer. Most of the Lord's Prayer, when he said, pray this way, most of it is petitions. So it's simply responding to what he has said, the way we should pray. And Matthew 7:7, I'm forgetting it. I think it's what I ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. Does that sound right? Anybody got a true amen on that? Or okay. All right. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. That's the problem, not having adequate notes, huh? But the two major elements in our prayers are praise and petition. Adoration and asking, song and supplication. Praise because he is great and good and wise and wonderful, and petition because we are needy and flawed, limited and foolish. But I particularly want to talk with you today about the petition part, because I think we're kind of clear on the praise part. If you wanted to praise God, you could read a psalm. You could read each verse of a psalm, and after each verse, pray something that comes to your mind. You can get a hymnal. You can read a hymn out of the hymnal. You can sing the hymn out of the hymnal. You can put on music and sway there in your room as you're thinking about how great he is. There are all kind of things to do with praise, and I think people are relatively clear on how they could proceed on that if they wanted to. Thanksgiving, that's not so tough, you know. You just say thanks. You just name things, and the more specific you are, the better. If your child just once in his whole life says, well, thank you for everything, well, they did cover it all. But it makes so much of a difference when Thanksgiving is specific. I really like it when you do this, and I so appreciate that you thought of this, and I really like this about you, and this, and this, and this. The other day, I was just thanking God for those two faithful servants, my right and my left hand. And then I thought, all my life, these two feet have accompanied me and taken me everywhere I have gone. And my knees that still haven't given out like they eventually may, and my muscles and blood and bones and brain, my hair. What would I look like without eyebrows? Thank you for eyebrows. But thanking God, that's very clear. We just need to do it. Confession, that's clear. But petition is one of the major stumbling blocks I find to people's prayer lives. Issues about petition are the main things that if we were to look at somebody's life who began well in their prayer life and then ran out of gas, it would relate to the area of the prayer of faith, the petition, the asking part. Because there are times when it doesn't seem like you can figure it out. Should you ask? Should you not ask? Well, we've already covered that you should ask. Go say. So we can discard that aspect of it. But the prayer of faith, to be strong, the prayer of petition, requires actually two aspects. And they both have to be present, strong, linked arm in arm. And that is the element of supplication and the element of surrender. Supplication is where you ask God specifically for things. You don't just say, well, Lord, I just pray you'd bless me. Blank check, just give me whatever you want. He said, no, that's not. Stop. Hold it. I mean, now you wouldn't even do that with your own child. As you've heard me say, if you've heard me talk on this particular subject, you wouldn't take your child to Baskin Robbins on their birthday and say, you can get anything you want. It's your birthday. You're 6 years old. What would you like? And they say, oh, no, dear Father, who am I? You are all wise and all knowing, and I don't trust myself. I just ask that, Father, your will be done. Whether you want me to have ice cream or not, whatever flavor you want, I'm willing. I hate pistachio, but I'm not even going to tell you that, because if you want pistachio, I'm going to eat pistachio, and I'm going to pretend like I like it. You're going to say, would you please, I don't know who you've been listening to, but I want to know what you want in this ice cream store for your birthday. I love you. Now, why do you think your Heavenly Father is less of a parent than you are? And when he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Supplication is asking. It's telling God what you think would be for your good and his glory and would be a blessing. But the second aspect, and needs to be just as strong, is absolute and complete surrender. That really all you really want is whatever he really wants. And so you end up with a marriage and the two become one flesh or one spirit, your will and his will. He didn't make you to erase you. He says, would you just keep your mouth shut and I'll run this thing? You always getting in the way and coming up with these foolish ideas. He says, no, beloved son, beloved daughter, as you are following me and loving me, tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what you would like. I want to hear it. And I promise to either give you exactly what you have asked for, or if I know there's something better, I will give you that. You can't lose in this. Now, what happens if you have supplication, asking, without surrender? Someone who's asking, but they're not willing, really wanting God's will to be done, they run into disappointment. Well, I did this, I pushed this button, and the candy didn't come out. I'm giving up on this. God either hates me or isn't there, or his promises weren't meant for me. How about surrender without supplication? If all you pray when you pray is, Lord, thy will be done, frankly, how long does that take? We can get through that mighty quick. Covered it all, let's move on. And yet we see Jesus hour after hour praying. We see the apostles saying we must devote ourselves to prayer in the ministry of the word. If there is asking or supplication without surrender, you're in for a roller coaster ride. Because sometimes it seems like your prayers were answered, and other times it seems like they weren't answered. So when they were answered, you go tell everybody, and you're so happy, and this and that and the other. And then these other times you cried out to God, and you prayed, and you fasted, and it didn't happen, or it didn't happen the way you wanted to. It's a roller coaster ride. If there's surrender without supplication, it will always lead to spiritual effects. It always results in less praying, and also it's disobedience. Supplication without surrender leads to fleshly living. Surrender without supplication also leads to fleshly living. Why? It sounds so spiritual. I'm just really ready to do his will, whatever it is. But if you are not praying, then who is doing the work? It's you. And so it may be very well-intentioned and very noble, but with no prayer and no calling out to God, you are stuck and limited to your own resources. Supplication, asking God without really being surrendered to God, is opportunistic. It's like, as Tozier said, a lot of times it can just degenerate into a glorified gold rush. And surrender without supplication can be fatalistic. It's like, well, whatever, God's in control, he's sovereign. No point in me asking anything. He knows what he's doing. Supplication without surrender, I want, I want, I want. I want a cookie, I want a potty, I want. Surrender, for those of you who saw Hook, surrender without application tends to be que sera, sera. Hey, whatever will be, will be. Supplication gives up eventually. Starts off trying, supplication without surrender. Starts off trying, well, let's ask God. So I made my list, but eventually it seems like this isn't working, so let's give it up. Surrender without supplication gives up quickly. God's sovereign, and whatever's going to happen. In supplication, there's a focus on what I want. In surrender, there's a focus on what he wants. He's trying to take you to a new place. What we want. He wants to do something new and big and wonderful in you. Now, please stop saying that prayer is powerful. I hear that from time to time, and it always makes me cringe. It's God who is powerful and stoops to work through our prayers in the way that a tiny trigger can set off a massive bomb. Now, when a massive bomb has gone off, you don't say, oh, man, that trigger. You got to see this trigger. I mean, if that trigger is not connected to that bomb, it's just a teeny little trigger. The power of prayer isn't prayer. It's God. It's the one it's connected to. And he is the one that gets the credit and the praise. Never give the praise to prayer. Give it to the one who stoops to answer the prayer. Now remember the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can quote it by heart, and you will you're going to quote it in this morning's service. If I remember to do it, I think I forgot at the 8:45. But anyway, oh well, George didn't say anything. Hadn't seen me yet either. But in the Lord's Prayer, remembering the Lord's Prayer, which you have had memorized since childhood, probably, What prayer isn't in the Lord's Prayer? If it be thy will. Why? Because you already know that everything that's prayed in the Lord's Prayer is his will. So you just pray it. And that pattern of prayer, it's almost all petitions. Never let the devil come in and tell you, now don't go asking for things. Look at all he's done for you. You are so ungrateful. He says, nope. I am the servant of the king, and the most frequent order he has given me is to ask. I am a partner with eternity, and without any shame or embarrassment, without any apology, I will ask and ask and ask and ask, because he has said, I must. Philippians 4:6 says, in the Living Bible, says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Isaiah 56:7, when we think about our church, a beautiful verse. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. Is our church known for its prayer life, corporate and private? We need to learn to pray. There are going to be times when things are offered here at the church in the next year that have to do with prayer. And may God remind you at that moment, not say, I must have something else I can come up with so that I won't feel bad for not going. No, come. Have an attitude of advancing in your prayer life. A couple of practical things, but then I want to move on. Do you have a place where you seek God? Do you have a place of prayer that's special? Doesn't mean you can't pray all the other places and in your car, etc. But do you have some place that's a special place? They're great authors on prayer, Spurgeon, Bounds, Tozier. But can we talk more personally now? Perhaps you're discouraged and confused about all this stuff about prayer, and I can't clear up everything today, all your questions. And in no way do I mean to make you feel even more at a dead end, but let me just share a couple of thoughts. This is the one thing in your whole life that can affect everything in your life and your world. Prayer can shape your future. It can determine your legacy. Prayer, a faith to the God who hears, is the key to your prison door. It's the combination to the vaults of heaven. It's the trigger of God's weapons of blessing. Prayer is the first part of the faith that you learned as a child, and it's the last activity you will be capable of in your old age and infirmity. Of all the activities of faith, prayer surely can and should be our most constant companion. How many of you believe in God? How many today believe in God? There you go. You wouldn't dare not hold up your hand. Good. Let me encourage you today. Are you prepared to believe God? Not just to believe in God. One of my favorite quotes on prayer by a man named James Gilmore of Mongolia. I imagine he was a missionary because I can't imagine a Mongolian with that name. And he said, my creed, or what I believe, leads me to think that prayer is effective, and surely a day spent in asking God to overrule all events for good is not a waste of time. I think this is on your notes, by the way. Still, there is a great feeling that when a man is praying, he is doing nothing. And this feeling makes us put our main efforts into work and activity, sometimes even to the hurrying over or even to the neglect of prayer. Do we not rest in our day too much on the arm of flesh? Cannot the same wonders be done now as of old? Do not the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, still to show himself strong on behalf of those who put their trust in him? Oh, that God would give me a more practical faith in him. Where is now the Lord God of Elijah? He is waiting for Elijah to call on him. May I, with all due respect, suggest that perhaps you and I have settled for too little. Do you realize that you were made to pray and intercede? It's not that just that there's this special race of people on the face of the earth that are called into full-time ministry, and they go off to these gleaming buildings, and they come out with their heads stuffed with volumes of theology, and now they somehow have connected with the divine. And if you really, really need the heavy guns, you go call them up and see if you can get them to come over, and you invite them over for Sunday dinner just so you'll have a little familiarity in case you need them sometime. My friend, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you yourself are a priest of Almighty God with a smoking censer in your hand. You are the royal race who, by your continual cries toward heaven, move mountains, and through whom God is pulling heaven back to earth, that once again his glory may fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. You were called to wrestle with the angel. You were called to call this generation back to faith in God, to pray from God's greatness down to your littleness, and call into being that which does not exist. Over the years, in answer to prayer, I've seen with my own eyes the sick made well. In our own congregation, God drawing back Sandy Poole from the very precipice of eternity, with her own eyes in the midst of that severe operation, coming out of that 3 days later and say, I saw him. I saw this gleaming city behind him. And he looked up at me and said, Sandy, it's not time for you. Your daughter needs you. You need to go back. That's exactly what we were praying at the same time in my house at 450 Running Fox. The words had come out of our mouth within that very hour when she was in the operation. We had prayed, Lord, in the same way that you call Lazarus back from the grave, we ask you to call her back now in Jesus' name. I've seen the miraculous provision of thousands of dollars. I've seen demons leave the tormented. I've seen in my lifetime communism and the Berlin Wall fall in answer to prayer. I've seen victory over besetting sins. I've seen marriages restored. I've seen prodigals come home again. And there are times when I have given up. I have prayed and it didn't seem like the gun was loaded and I gave up. I got a call just the other Sunday night and the guy said, my name is Michael, Michael Brown. And I'm thinking, I knew you in college. That was 30 years ago. He says, you came to my room. You were a dorm counselor, and I was your boss, and I was a Jew. And you came and asked me where I was going to spend eternity. And you shared the gospel with me, and I told you I wasn't interested. And I can promise you, with almost 100% assurance, I had been praying for him before that. And I had prayed for him after that. And it didn't look like anything happened. And I thought, the gun isn't loaded. He began to read the New Testament a month later. On Good Friday, 1977, he woke up and he says, I know in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He turned his life over to Christ. For 7 years, he worked for IBM. He was discipled. He felt a call to the ministry, went to Dallas Seminary for 3 years, got his degree, served as a Southern Baptist minister for 7 years, led his mother, his sister, his brother to Christ, and has been now serving in a Messianic Jewish church out in Los Angeles for the last 15 years. I called you to thank you. When I first became a Christian, my uncle worked for NASA. He developed the thing that took the people's heart blood pressure in space. And he laughed about all this stuff about faith. And I prayed for him, and I prayed, and I prayed. And he was as obstinate as ever. And I gave up praying. When he died 20 years later, 3 months before he passed away, he asked Christ into his life. And I thought, why did I quit believing? God is true. He has promised. He will act in his time, in his way. All he has asked of me is to ask and believe. And in answer to prayer, I believe I will see the salvation of my extended family. I believe I will see a revival in this church and in the church in the United States. I believe I will see a massive turning to Christ by the Muslim world. How about when it seems that prayer doesn't work? It happens to me. Maybe there's somebody here it hasn't happened to. But I doubt it. Were those prayers wasted? Not at all. Did you realize the greatest value of our prayers is not found in the answer itself? Prayer is the main God-ordained mechanism in the universe to bring heaven back to earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Spurgeon said, when we say that God answers prayer, we don't mean that God literally always gives us exactly what we've asked for, but we do mean this: when he withholds from us what we have asked from him in silver, it's only so that he might bestow it upon us in gold. In a greater sense, all prayers of faith are answered with a yes from God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are, maybe. In him they are, well, yes or no, or wait. In him they are, yes. Every prayer you pray by faith, surrender to his will, loving him, and praying what's in your heart, it meets a yes from God. Either a yes in the way you are expecting or a higher yes that you will sometime understand. It's okay. Father knows best. I'm not here just to get what I think I want. There's so many times when you had to steel your ears to the cries of your child for their greater good, knowing that one day you could explain it to them and they would understand. But they had to learn to trust you. But you didn't want them to get duct tape and put it on their mouth. Says, I never want to hear another thing from you. You just sit there and do what I tell you. No, you say, my child, what do you want? And if it's in my power and for your good, I will do it. We moan and complain and worry and fret. We fume, we sulk, we pout, we react. But we won't pray. Why? We just don't believe it. Now, this is one of the most exciting areas for me to encourage you in, because your possibilities from now to the end of your life, they're only going to increase. I would be discouraged today if I were talking about your sports ability. As bad as it might be today, friend, it's going to get worse. I wouldn't be that encouraged with your career, because there's going to come the day when they're going to give you a pen and shove you out the door. I wouldn't be even that sanguine about family, because they're going to go off and do their thing and call you from time to time. But when it comes to prayer, I am so excited about speaking with you about that, because as the other things fade in the background, a huge space, bigger and bigger and bigger, opens up for you to be believing and praying and trusting and pulling heaven down to earth by your mighty prayers. And I must release the choir right now. Thank you so much for coming. We bless you. You were here early, and now you're going to serve. And also the ushers, thank you. And I try to be faithful to fulfill my word to you, to let you go when you need to go. I wanted to share just one quote. As I was, I spent an hour looking for this morning. I should have been working on fine-tuning some of the things, but it just had stuck in my mind. I went through two whole books looking for this quote, and it was on the last page of the second one. It's by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, based on his sermon on Revelations 8:3. Now, this is from 150 years ago. Revelation 8:3 through 5 says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. That's kind of a pan held up by a chain. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. The Bible term, when it says saints, it always means all true believers in Jesus Christ. So these are your prayers. So there's an angel with this metal pan of full of the incense of your prayers on the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came from the prayers with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God and out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. What a picture of how God uses your prayers. And listen to what Spurgeon says about it. Maybe this will whet your appetite or maybe discourage you forever from reading Spurgeon. It's a little bit older language, but some of us like this. Now, when the censer of God's church shall have been filled, well filled with prayer, and that prayer shall have been presented to the Lord, he will begin to work. And that censer, which has been before God a weapon to prevail with him, shall then become against men a weapon to prevail with them. God will fill it full of coals and pour it out upon the earth. His divine power shall then be seen. Then will come voices, preachers here and there will rise, voices denouncing oppression, voices crying against false religion, voices preaching truth, voices declaring Christ. Then will come thunderings, for with the gospel will go the voice of God, which is like thunder, louder than the voice of man. Then will flash forth lightnings, for the light of God's power and truth will come forth with majesty, and men's hearts shall be smitten with it and made obedient to it. And then shall earthquakes shake society, till the thrones of despots reel, till hoary customs are dashed in pieces, till the land that could not be plowed with the gospel shall be broken up with secret heavings from the eternal God. We have but to pray. All things are possible to us. Pray, brethren. You have the key in the door of heaven. Keep it there and turn it till the gates shall open. Pray, brethren, for prayer holds the chain that binds the old rag. Prayer can hold fast and restrain even Satan himself. Pray, God gird you with omnipotence if you know how to pray. May we not fail here, but may the Spirit of God strengthen us. And to God shall be the glory forever and ever. I believe that God is good. I believe that God is great. I believe that God has promised to hear and answer the prayers of his people who cry out to him. I believe that God cannot lie, and he has bound himself to us with an eternal oath to respond to our cries. I believe that every prayer I pray according to the will of God in the name of Jesus is answered with a yes or a higher yes. I believe that every prayer counts for heaven and votes for the kingdom of God on the earth. Beloved child of God, will you renew your holy ambition today to become a man or a woman of prayer, that in the next few years you will learn how to lay hold of the eternal God like never before with his blessed promise, that you will trust him for great things and see many of them fulfilled right before your eyes, that you will awaken from your slumber, Christ will shine on you, the Spirit stirs within you. I say to you in the words of Jesus himself that if you want to follow him in our series, Let's Follow Jesus, I say to you today, ask and you will receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Please stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I've never really met any true believer that's proud of their prayer life. We all stumble in many ways, and our point is not to get to a place where we are self-satisfied and self-congratulatory in our prayer life. Lord, we look away from all of ourself, our weaknesses, our limitations, our stumblings, and we look away to a great God who has called us to do this, to the Spirit who is stirring us even now, to renew our hope and faith in a God who answers prayer. Lord, you have spoken to us from eternity through the words of Scripture by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that these words would become flesh in each person here, that we would look back to these days and wonder how we ever could make it In Jesus' name, amen.